And then at a point in time, something's going to hit that sweet spot, that trigger, and I mean the real person shows up. And we wonder, what on earth has happened? I'm telling you, you can go take it right back to this. Begin checking the background. What kind of relationship has he had with his father? Okay? So anyway, this answered 1,000 questions for me. It helped me understand so many things. Churches are filled with pastors and leaders who use people and destroy relationships. They are driven to succeed. And it's due to their need for a father's affirmation. And that need is too big to be filled by either ministry or success in business. Only a father's love can fill that vacuum, fill that hole. Amen. Fathers beget sons. And that's what we're all about. The only way to break this orphan spirit. Here we've talked about the problem. How do you break this thing? How do we reverse this thing? Is it reversible? I've got good news for you. Yes, it is. The way to break this orphan spirit is for people to be filled with the sense of the Father's love for them, which then enables them to become mature sons who serve out of the knowledge of His undeserved and unmerited grace and favor, trying to earn the Father's love. I am loved. That's the way we break this cycle. That's, I'm telling you, that we're seeing it. And there are places, this is a place where the love of God is so on display. I was so blessed by the Thursday night with the guys that work with the street people and whatever. I'll guarantee you they would affirm everything I've said here. They are seeing it. Am I right, brother? I'm telling you, they are seeing that. Go back. Well, you want to know what the root is? This is a root. Fatherlessness. There is a desperation in their hearts and in their lives saying, I need a father's love. There's something about a father's love that nothing else can satisfy. The orphan spirit is perhaps the greatest curse on the earth today. I mean, this guy makes some strong statements. The orphan spirit is the greatest curse on the earth today. It will take spiritual parents with great spiritual depth and authority to break and reverse this curse and move then into generational blessing. One of the things, and Marty and Alan and Jason can attest to, in Kenya, when I went over there, the Lord told me, He says, don't mess with the old heads. He says they're old wineskins, and they're not going to receive the new wine. He says, you pour yourself into these young guys who can receive and who can be taught and who can be trained. We are in the process of raising up a generation of fathers. These guys saw our staff and how they relate to their kids. That the husbands, the fathers, nurture these kids. The fathers, I think, in many cases, are more nurturing than the mothers. The kids defer to the father more than they do to the mother. These kids are healthy, emotionally sound kids because they know the love of a daddy. I'm telling you, Reed and I are so blessed when we see this. Well, what's going to happen? That generation then we'll produce sons. This generation about kind of, and Marty and Jason's age, I mean, these guys are understanding that sons reproduce sons and fathers produce fathers. There's at least two generations I can see already just from our guys. They've got it. They're fathers because they're sons. And most of them have come from very difficult backgrounds. But they're raising their kids. They have received the revelation. I'm a son. And I can love this little old boy and this little old girl. I can love them unconditionally. And these kids hang on them. Oh, my word. It's the most refreshing thing. Because there's the affirmation and the love of a father. I'm telling you, this thing is not lost. I'm telling you, this guy that's sitting back here, I'm telling you, you've got a big job. But I'm telling you, the answer is very simple. Bring the revelation of the love of the Father. And I just prophesy this, you're going to be the daddy to a whole bunch of those guys. You will be their surrogate father. I'm telling you, they won't know the difference between a surrogate and the real deal. I'm telling you, as you receive this revelation, you walk in this whole understanding of how important and how significant being a son and a father are. I'm telling you, you can change those guys, and they in turn can change others and others and others and others. I'm telling you, there's a generational shift that's coming. And it starts with just some people that just embrace the spirit of sonship. Amen? It'll take spiritual parents with great spiritual depth and authority to break the to reverse this whole thing. Only when a person is healed of fatherlessness through the love of God is the orphan spirit broken. So they begin the process of entering spiritual or mature sonship. You don't know why there's so many immature Christians in the church? Because you got a bunch of orphans. There's a bunch of orphans. They don't know how to relate. They don't know how to do anything else. They don't know how to be anything else. Because that orphan spirit has so bound them. Let me tell you how important it is that we be sons. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 speaks to this very thing. Romans 8, 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of what? Of what? Of the sons. Waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Even creation recognizes it's important, how important and how powerful sonship is to the whole existence of the universe. The following 11 traits contrast the orphan spirit with the spirit of sonship. Number one, the orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. Hello. The orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. You ever see any of that, brother? You mean pastors ever see that? Don't call names. But the orphan spirit operates out of insecurity and jealousy. Contrast that to the spirit of sonship that functions out of love and acceptance. Oh, my word. What an incredible difference. When you're dealing with someone who is an emotional cripple and dealing with someone that is emotionally whole. What a difference. What a difference. Number two, the orphan spirit is jealous of the success of his brothers. Old Cain and Abel showed up here. The orphan spirit is jealous of the success of his brothers. The mature son is committed to the success of his brothers. Man. Let me just read this. Those with an orphan spirit are happy when their brothers fail because it makes them look good. Well, you know, at least I didn't do what he did. You know, comparing ourselves among ourselves. So they almost gloat in someone else's failure because it makes them feel better about themselves. On the other hand, those with the spirit of sonship fully commit themselves to serve, celebrate, and help their brother succeed. It seems like sons understand that what I make happen for someone else, God will make happen for me. And we rejoice when someone else succeeds. We rejoice when they excel. So we rejoice when recognition comes to them. We're not jealous of that because we are so incredibly secure in our relationship to the Father. We have the same acceptance. We don't have to worry about it. We're not vying for it. We're living in the acceptance and the affirmation of our Father. Number three. The orphan spirit serves God to earn the Father's love. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. And then my favorite old Baptist song, toiling on, toiling on, toiling on. My land, listen, we ain't toiling. The orphan spirit serves God to earn the Father's love. The mature son serves God out of a sense of divine acceptance and favor. Along these lines, those with an orphan spirit are constantly striving and trying to earn the Father's love through accomplishment in ministry or career. And I'm telling you, there is no rest in that. That will lead to an early premature death. And the sad part of it is, you have already been accepted. You are already unconditionally loved. You don't have to strive for it. You just simply receive it. What an incredible thing. I mean, it's so simple. But the devil has just kept all of this so hidden for so long. On the other hand, along these lines, those with an orphan spirit are constantly striving and trying to earn the Father's love through accomplishment, ministry, or career. Those with the spirit of sonship already know they're accepted in Christ, and they serve others out of the abundance of their acceptance. My motivation is not to earn. My motivation is because I've already received. And I'm just giving out of the abundance of what I've received. Number four. The orphan spirit tries to medicate its deep internal alienation through physical stimulation. Talk to this guy back there. You want to know why there's so many on drugs and dope and all the rest of it? They're trying to, it's an anesthetic, trying to quiet and deal with the pain of their heart. And the pain is because of fatherlessness. Amen. I'm telling you, there's something to this thing. This is important. This is revelation. I'm telling you, this so stirred me. But I could see so many things happening. All right, I saw myself in this very thing. I was 28 years old. I turned and walked completely away from God. I got so sick of the whole religious gig. I walked away from God, and I got involved in doing everything that I always preached against. Knew better, but I'm telling you, I had such emotional pain, I would have done anything to try to anesthetize the pain that I was living with. I didn't know how to deal with it. I was not chemically addicted to alcohol. I was emotionally addicted to alcohol. I drank to kill the pain on the inside of me, not just to get high. I'm telling you, that is a sign of an orphan spirit. We will try any and everything to medicate, to deal with the pain that's there that can only come when we experience the unconditional love and acceptance of our Father. Father God. Amen. They try to medicate themselves. They're trying to push down their sense of alienation, loneliness, lack of self-worth through constant work, going from one relationship to the next, physical gratification and a life of narcissism and self-indulgence. However, the more they indulge, the more addicted they become, and the larger the hole in their heart becomes, because only the love of the Father can fill those deep emotional needs. There's five kids in our family. I was one of two boys. I was the oldest son. I was the third born, the middle child. I had a brother that was 8 years younger than me. One of the most unique guys you've ever met. Smart, good looking, athletic. I mean, everything the guy touched, just he succeeded in the thing. He died of sclerosis of the liver. About the 1st of September of last year at 62 years old. He died a pauper. His family, his siblings, basically supported him for the last 5 years of his life. A man who had made millions and millions of dollars, who had driven $100,000 cars, who had lived the good life, so he thought, But there was something in him that ate away at the inside of him. And he tried to medicate it through all kinds of things that ended up literally killing him and destroying him. And to the day he drew his last breath, he was desperate for another drink. I'm telling you, this stuff... See, this is what's killing people. We're trying to medicate it. We're trying to psychologize it out of them. I'm telling you, they need a relationship with a father. It is fatherlessness. It is the love of a father that is driving them to this mess. Obviously, there's responsibility on their part. But I'm telling you, we're providing everything except the answer to this mess. Everything. We're offering all kinds of alternatives that are nothing more than a Band-Aid and an anesthetic when the heart is going to be there when they sober up in the morning. Those walking in sonship bask in the presence and the love of God and practice the joy of the Lord continually as their strength. The source of their strength, because they understand that's the only place that has any security in it whatsoever. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is not based around, has nothing to do with your circumstance. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And you have it by receiving it by faith, just like you do everything else. I'm telling you. Happiness, you can, you know, it comes and goes. But the joy of the Lord is permanent. Hallelujah. Number five, the orphan spirit is driven by the need for success. The orphan spirit is driven by the need for success. The Spirit leads the mature son into his calling and mission. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are what? The sons of God. But those who live with this orphan spirit, this spirit of fatherlessness, they are driven to succeed, to prove to the world and to themselves, I can do it. I'm better than you. I mean, there is this thing, they are driven, and it is a spirit. I have cast thousands of the things out of people over the last 30 years. That orphan spirit is a spirit from hell. And it has to be dealt with in a spiritual manner. You can't medicate it away. You can't psychologize it away. It has to be dealt with in a power encounter of the Holy Ghost. And get that thing out and send it to the abyss where it needs to go and to stay. The Spirit leads the mature son into his calling and mission. Many attempt to accomplish great things to satisfy the deep yearning in their hearts for their father's approval. This results in them being driven to succeed instead of being led by the Spirit. Even many leaders in their churches, here we are, we're back in church again. Many leaders in their churches get their churches into huge debt, building huge buildings to satisfy something on the inside. I bet you can think of 10 churches right off the bat. I'm serious. I mean, it's epidemic. And you go back to why, and here's the thing. Those preachers will leave those churches into huge debt, and in 6 months they're going to resign and go somewhere else and leave the mess for somebody else to clean up. Why do they do it? Fatherlessness. There's a hole in their heart, and they keep looking for that one breakthrough, that one success, that one something that will finally take care of this thing on the inside, this hole that's there. They think that they can feel good by driving people, feel good about themselves with these great accomplishments. Number six. The orphan spirit uses people as objects to fulfill goals. Mature sons serve people, hallelujah, to bless the kingdom. What an incredible contrast. You notice these saints are diametrically opposed? Diametrically opposed is the orphan spirit from the spirit of sonship. That old orphan spirit uses people. They use people. They manipulate people with words and threats and anything necessary to have their way. Man, I have been in churches and conferences and so forth where we just go to attend a conference or something. And sometimes the pastor of that church gets up and he so harangues on the people in their giving time. Oh my word. Dude, we've been in a church one time. Every time some big shot would come through there, he'd try to get his church to buy for him what they had. Somebody comes with an airplane. The next time you go, man, he's on their neck to buy him an airplane. If somebody comes in, they got a big old, $100,000 Lexus. You go over down there and he's got to have a Lexus. The next time somebody comes through, he's got a Rolex. He has to have a Rolex. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And if I call the guy's name, you'd all recognize. I won't. But I'm telling you, you look at that and say, what in heaven's name is the problem? It's a problem of fatherlessness. Trying to get something, to earn something, to prove something. And so here's what takes place. The orphan spirit uses people to fulfill their goals. Number 7, the orphan spirit repels children. Lord help me. You think kids can't read or discern? They're so much more discerning and perceptive than we adults are. You can't fool these kids. They can read somebody like a dirty book. I'm telling you, they know. And as a result, I'm telling you, these kids will stay away from them by the droves. But we go into churches and you see a pastor where those little old kids are hanging all over him. I'm telling you, you found a guy who is secure in his own skin. You find a guy who is a son and he's raising sons, and these kids understand. They know they're not in competition with him or he with them. They feel secure. There's a stability. There's an acceptance. There's a love there. I'm telling you, they can see it, and they are drawn to kids, are drawn to fathers. And they can be very big kids. You can be a 70-year-old kid still crying out for a father. I've seen it happen over and over again. We were in the Philippines last October, and I shared a message similar to this on a Sunday morning. A place was packed out. And anyway, I just said, I was begin the ministry time. We'll do something similar to that in a little bit. The ministry time. And I said, if you want to receive this spirit of sonship, would you stand? The first person up was a pastor's mother who was probably 75 or 80 years old. She stood up and she so received the spirit of sonship. She left there that day knowing she had a father. Has nothing to do with age. And once again, I say to you pastors and this gentleman back here, I'm telling you, there are people out there who are desperate for fathers. And you give them half a chance, I'm telling you, you'll have so many sons. But I'm telling you, there's such satisfaction and such a sense of fulfillment that comes when you see the transformation that takes place with them. The orphan spirit repels children, but the spirit of sonship attracts children. You just watch, I'm telling you, just watch. You can see it. You can see it. Leaders and parents with an orphan spirit are constantly in turmoil. Hello. They're fighting and striving for their own way, which gives their spiritual children the sense that their leader is in competition with them instead of loving them.
That's right.
Okay? This results in repelling spiritual and biological children, which can forfeit influence over the next generation. See, in the same way that it forfeits that next generation, by our moving into this revelation and becoming, receiving the revelation that we're sons and we're sons and we're daughters and we're sons, we can change that in the next generation as well. That's the beauty of this whole thing. I mean, this curse can be reversed. And it's done just by receiving it. Those who walk in sonship walk in the Father's anointing. and draw children toward them, because their children hear the voice of the shepherd who cares for them. Wow. Number 8. The orphan spirit has anger and fits of rage. Do you have any of those guys angry you deal with? Every last one of them. Rage. Yeah. It's nothing to do with gender. But there is this anger and this rage that's in there. And it expresses itself in some really difficult, in some really terrible ways many times. Anger is also an indication of unforgiveness. Someone who is bearing a lot of unforgiveness, a lot of resentment, bitterness, they're angry people. But this rage is there. This anger is there. There's something. They don't know what it is. They couldn't tell you if they're life dependent. But they are. There's a void. There is a hole. And nothing will seem to fill the hole and ease the pain. And so they act out in this thing through these fits of rage and this anger and so forth. They also will act out through in other forms of manipulation, because they feel they must control others in their circumstances in order to fulfill their goals. This is because they lack the necessary trust in the Heavenly Father to guide and control their lives. I will do it. I am my own man. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. And they bow up against the authorities and whatever. And one day somebody tell you, yeah, you are going to do it. Those walking in sonship walk in the Father's love, Father's rest, and have ceased from their own works so the Father can have His way in their lives. Ha! Rest. And as you rest, it's so easy then to be led by the Spirit of God. And the things that you had been working so hard to accomplish all of a sudden become so very doable. And you go to bed at night and there's such satisfaction and such fulfillment. Number 9, the orphan spirit is always in competition with others. Oh, my word. But the spirit of sonship is always blessing others. You see, I mean, it is the exact opposite, diametrically opposed. One is always in competition with others. And they'll do anything. They will step on you and do anything they can to succeed. I worked for a guy one time. He says, "Let me tell you something, boy. I'm going to keep this job. I'm going to make this the best restaurant it's ever been. I don't care what I have to do it." Man, I figured out I was in the wrong place pretty quick. I said, "You're going to do it without my help." But there was such a drivenness in this guy. The spirit of sonship is always blessing. Those with an orphan spirit are always trying to outdo others in their church, in the family, business, denomination, because they receive their identity through being better than anyone else. Those who walk in sonship are constantly seeing how they can bless others, since they already have the affirmation of God in their heart. They want to freely share His love with others. Number 10, the orphan spirit lacks self-esteem. The spirit of sonship walks in the love and acceptance of God the Father. When my brother was making several $100,000 a year, he was driving $100,000 cars when I was a lot of car. When he was living in the mansions, he was wearing the Armani suits and the whole bit of it. His self-esteem and his perception of himself was at absolute rock bottom. The bars he would go to were always the dives. He never went to a respectable bar. He always went to those places because he felt comfortable there with those people. Oh, my goodness, man, you don't have to come in here and drink beer. Why don't you go have some champagne somewhere? But and it was just amazing, amazing what this orphan spirit, how people perceive themselves. And then they'll gravitate to that lowest common denominator, finding others who can share in their misery. What was that number? Number 9. Those who walk in sonship are constantly seeing how they can bless others since they already have. Okay, number 10. The orphan spirit lacks self-esteem, but the spirit of sonship walks in the love and acceptance of the Father. Those with an orphan spirit have a hard time loving and accepting themselves. A lot of self-hate, hatred, and a lot of self-loathing. Amen? Those walking in sonship are filled with a sense of divine love. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? They walk with a sense of divine love and acceptance that enables them to walk confidently in the joy of the Lord in spite of the fact that all humans are sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Number 11, the orphan spirit receives its primary identity through material possessions, physical appearance, and activities. But the spirit of sonship is grounded in sonship and the Father's affirmation. Those with an orphan spirit never have enough career success, material possessions, pleasure, or illicit relationships to satisfy the hole in their heart related to their identity. Consequently, they are constantly striving to gain satisfaction through the use of various things or people in their lives. In many cases, even in the form of their dress, the color of their hair, including an inordinate amount of tattoos, skin piercings, and hairdos can be their way of standing out as unique in a cry for attention due to a lack of self-esteem and a father's affirmation. Does this make sense to you guys? Have you been able to recognize yourself in some of these things? My word, now I understand why there's a particular area of my life that is just giving me a fit. Why I've not been able to break through. Why I've not been able to take captive this thing. There's a lie that has been received. But now as you receive the revelation of the truth, and we're going to deal with this orphan spirit in just a moment. We're not just going to get up here and give you a lecture. We're going to deal with this thing and lead you into receiving the spirit of sonship. Now before I do that, well, let me just finish this thing, and then I'll get into that. Those who walk in sonship are so grounded in the Father's affirmation, they can be satisfied serving in the background and can celebrate the success and attention with others receive. The void in their soul has been filled with the unconditional love of the Father. We're talking about in numbers of places in the Bible, it talks about receiving that we have received the spirit of adoption. That's probably one of the most misunderstood things in the whole Bible. And here's why. Rita and I have an adopted daughter. Our oldest child is adopted. And when I would read adoption until I got some revelation on this, I would think about the process we went through, the legal adoption we went through with Stacy. That's bringing a child from the outside in and making them a part of the family based, you know, through the legal system. That's not what this word means in the Bible. When you talk about the word adoption, as in the Scripture, it means to be placed as a son, referring to a mature son. Here's the deal. In the thinking of a New Testament Greek person, when a son was born into the family, he was turned over immediately to a pedagogue or to a tutor. And he was the responsibility of the tutor until this boy became of age to the age of consent, sometime at about 14 years old. Once he had gone through these years and had developed and had matured, etc., then this boy, this minor son, was taken to the father and then he was told to the father that now the son is a candidate to become a son. Now, he was born into the family. He had all the rights. He could carry the father's name. He would be an heir of the father. But until he became of age, he really had no more authority than the slave did. Okay? But he's tutored by this pedagogue, by this tutor. And so he comes to this age of consent at about 14 years of age. And he is taken to the father, and then he is a candidate now to become adopted into the family, even though he's blood member of the family, but there's a totally different status now. Up until this point, he has been wearing a toga, a cloak, signifying to anyone who saw him, this boy is still a child. He has not advanced. He's not yet become a son. And then when he comes to this place and they go through this ceremony of bringing him into this place of sonship where he is adopted, placed as a son, an adult son in the family, that toga of the child is removed from his shoulders and they have what they call a togus virilis, which is a cloak that's put on that signifies it is a cloak of manhood. Now, he is a son in full standing. He's been adopted into the family and now shares in the name, the responsibilities, the inheritance, and the authority of the family. Now, here's the interesting thing. Once he has been adopted into the family, the tutor is dismissed. He's no longer needed. What's this? The tutor for us was the law. Now what it says? Now what Galatians says? Galatians 4, I think. But when we move from that being in that position of a minor, we were wearing this thing, we were relating to the law. We had a pedagogue. We had a tutor that was bringing us to a place of maturity, a place of consent, let's say, or a place of accountability. And when we receive Jesus, we put on that new cloak, that cloak of sonship. We were adopted into the family of God, and now we are no longer under the tutelage of that pedagogue. We are now full standing sons in the family. Man, I never understood the power of this word adoption till I began doing some study on this thing. Does that help you?
Yes.
So when we talk about being adopted in the spirit of adoption, we're not talking about going to the courthouse. We're talking about coming into the family of God. Not from the outside. We're not old sinners saved by grace. God doesn't have kids who are sinners. We are brought in. We are born into this family. And then we are brought to this place of accountability. And then as we receive by faith the Lord Jesus, we become heirs in full rights, full standing, full authority. Amen. When I was 28, as I mentioned, I went through a season. Just walked away from the church. Didn't know what the reason was. I asked myself that question 1,000 times. I was drinking, I was carousing, I was doing everything that you can very well imagine. I don't need to go into the details of that. But on July the 3rd, 1982, I went to bed drunk, and during the night I had a visitation of the Lord. And I woke up the next morning and I was stone cold sober and delivered from the alcohol. That began a process, a long process of about 8 years of some restoration. But even though I had come back I was doing everything I knew to do and doing everything anybody was telling me to do, there was still this issue that I was having. My wife will vouch for that. I was still on this emotional and religious roller coaster. The highs were high and the lows were low, and I never knew when I got up in the morning which was going to be which. We had met some people who had immigrated from South Africa to the States. We were living in Hearst, Texas, between Fort Worth and Dallas. Got to know these people, and these people were the real deal. They walked the walk. They talked the talk. I mean, their circumstances weren't all that hot, but I'm telling you, their relationship with God, they so loved God. They knew God was a good God, something I had never heard across anybody's lips where I came from. We got to know these people. One day we were having lunch with them, and I was so frustrated at this whole experience of with my walk with the Lord or lack of the walk, whatever. And I said to John, if this is all that Christianity has to offer, I'm through. I'm going back to the bar. This is wearing me out. At least when I was in the bars, at least I was down, but it was consistent. You know, when I got up in the morning, I knew that was as good as it's going to get. But this way, it's just this up and down thing. I'm just tired of it. And I fully expected him to argue with me or to come back with rebuttal. And he just said, there's more. and change the subject. I thought, John, I want to argue with you. About a month later, I went to his office. I left. I had an insurance agency. Rita was working for me. I walked out of my office into hers. And I said to her, I'm going to go see John. And I don't know. I didn't think he even told you where I was going. I said, I'll be back at some point in time. Got in my car and drove straight to his office. And we were sitting there. And I walked in. He knew I hadn't come in for a social call. I mean, I had that look on my face of desperation. He says, what do you want? Why are you here? I said, you said the other day that there's more to this whole Christian experience and I want to know about it. He said, how much do you want? I said, I want all of it. He said, come in and sit down. So I go in, I sit down in a chair right like this, and he comes and he sits right in front of me, and he's almost right in my face. And he just begins sharing some things with me. Most, I think, I had heard a lot of it. I had actually preached. But nonetheless, I heard things differently that day. See, when you're desperate, you hear differently than you do when you're just looking for an excuse. I had heard it with these things on the side of my head. But I'm telling you, that day in my utter sheer desperation, I heard it with these ears right down here. And when I heard it with these ears, I was willing and ready to accept as truth what was being said. And he began dealing with me and just sharing with me from the Scripture about this whole business and how destructive unforgiveness is. He knew a bit of my background because his background had been a bit similar to mine, having been raised in a pastor's home himself. And he starts out, he says, we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill this place. And he led us, and the Spirit of God just kind of engulfed that office. And he said, now I'm going to lead you. I want you to just ask God to forgive you for your unforgiveness, because unforgiveness is sin. Well, I think I probably knew that. I didn't argue with him. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for my unforgiveness and the bitterness and anger and all the rest of that stuff that goes with it. And he says, I want you to just now, I want to lead you in forgiving some people. Obviously, you have been offended. Obviously, you have been wounded. And we just need to deal with that and close the door to the enemy, etc. So anyway, he says, what about your father? Do you have any unforgiveness against your father? I said, oh, do I ever? I said, how long do we have? He says, you just repeat after me, Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my father and I cancel all the debt I've held against him and I release him. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my father for not being able to express his love. I forgive him for not being able to tell me he loved me. I forgive him for not affirming me. I forgive him for never telling me how proud he was of me, that I could do anything to please. I forgive him for loving the church members' kids more than he loved his own kids. I forgive him for going to their basketball games when he didn't go to our own. I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgive him. And as every time I would say that I forgave him and released, I got lighter and lighter and lighter. And I came to a point that I knew I was through. I mean, everything that the Lord just brought to my mind, I just released it to God. I agreed with God. And that's what this whole confession business is about, just agreeing with God. I cancel the debt. I release him. And I forgive him in Jesus' name. Whew, took a deep breath. Then, what about your mother? Well, my mother was a saint if there ever was one. Lord have mercy. She was the buffer between us five kids and our dad. And anyway, I had absolutely nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. I hear as many people having issues with their mother as they do with their father. So anyway, you can just do it like this. If your mother was the problem in your relationship, just Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my mother. And I cancel all the debt I've held against her. I forgive her for her tongue. I forgive her for her sarcasm, for her bitterness. I forgive her for her anger. I forgive her for not being able to love me and being able to affirm me. I forgive her for not being able to nurture me and be the mother that I fully intended and expected that she would be. I forgive her for the wounds that I'm carrying even to this day. And I know what I'm talking about. I mean, you can do that right there where you're sitting tonight. We see it virtually every time I share this kind of thing. What about grandparents? So many people have issues with grandparents. So many people have issues with aunts and uncles. I'm telling you, there's been a whole host of uncles who have sexually abused their nieces and their nephews. You need to forgive them and release them in Jesus' name. I will not allow, I'm telling you, don't allow what someone did to you to keep you in bondage to your past, because until you deal with this crap, I'm telling you, you can never move into your present and into your future. When you have unforgiveness, it is like you taking poison and expecting the other person to die. I'm telling you, forgive them, release them, cancel the debt, and allow the Spirit of God to bring such refreshing. We went right on down the line. My wife, I didn't have any issues with her. I should have forgiven her for staying with me through all the mess I'd put her through. But thank God she did. Kids, man, I had a 16-year-old daughter. If you've ever had a 16-year-old daughter, you've got unforgiveness. Lord have mercy. He said, "Do you have unforgiveness towards Stacy?" I said, "Let me count the ways." I said, "She knows how to ring my chime faster than anybody that I know." So I forgave Stacy. I forgave her for such a vitriolic tongue. I forgave her for her lying. Lord, she'd rather lie to you than tell the truth. When she knew you were lying, she knew. Yeah, that too. So anyway, I forgave Stacy and I released her and I canceled the debt against her. And Chad had a 14-year-old boy. He was no saint either. But I forgave him. And when I got home, I said to my kids, I ask you to forgive me for my unforgiveness. And man, God began the process of rebuilding. Not rebuilding foot. We'd never had a family. Building a family. And he goes on down the line and he says, "What about yourself?" I says, "I hate myself." "Forgive yourself." "I forgive myself. And I cancel all the debt I've held against myself in Jesus' name. I forgive myself for never living up to my own expectations and the expectations of others. I forgive myself for so disappointing and hurting my wife and my kids. I forgive myself for so impugning the gospel and everything. I forgive myself for just being weak and unable to stand against temptation." You know what I'm talking about. Forgive yourself. And I forgave myself. I released myself from this debt, this obligation of these expectations that I'd carried for so many years of my life. I just take a deep breath and release that junk in Jesus' name. Then he says, "Do you have any unforgiveness toward God?" I said, "Oh, I've never admitted it, but yes, I've got lots of unforgiveness toward God." And that's when I discovered, when I told God I had unforgiveness for him, toward him, wasn't the first time he knew it. But I said, "Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive you. And I cancel all the debt I've held against you. I'm not sure what I expected. Coming from where I had come from, I probably thought and expected a bolt of lightning to just take me out the first time I opened my mouth. You kind of pray with one eye open, just waiting to see what's going to happen. Father, I forgive you. I cancel all the debt I've held. I forgive you for the family that you allowed me to be born into. I forgive you for allowing things to happen that you could have easily prevented. I forgive you for not answering my prayers." You know what I'm talking about. You know those offenses that you have had and perhaps even have tonight toward God. Forgive him. Release him. Cancel the debt against him in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, sit there and some of this stuff is coming to your mind. And you can just right there say, "I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive." And when you walk out of here tonight, you'll walk out feeling much, much lighter than you did when you came in. And we went through all of that stuff. And he says, "Now we're going to do something. We're going to take the ground back that you've given over to the devil through this unforgiveness." See, I opened up a door. I'm convinced that unforgiveness is perhaps the key that the devil uses to bring destruction into the soul part of us. Now listen to me. You know this, but let me just remind you. When you're born again, the part of you that's born again is your spirit. And it's sealed with the Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of promise. Your soul and your body have been purchased, but they're not yet redeemed. And so what the demonic junk that comes in doesn't get into your spirit because it's sealed. It's possessed by the Spirit of God. But your soul is open to this thing when we have unforgiveness and through a lot of other things, through alcohol and sex and all the rest of that stuff. I mean, we open ourselves up and the enemy comes in and builds his fortresses, his strongholds in the soul of man. Okay? So anyhow, he said, "We're going to take the ground back that you've given open." He said, "Keep your eyes open. You're not praying to the devil." I said, he said, "Use an authoritative voice." He said, "Say, devil." I said, "Devil, In Jesus' name, I take the ground back that I've given over to you. Through my unforgiveness and bitterness and anger and resentment and adultery and alcohol and all in any other way that I've opened the door and given you ground, I take it back now in Jesus' name. And man, some things begin to take place on the inside of me. And he said, you break the curses. He said, obviously there are some curses. We'll break the curse of any word that's been spoken over you against you or to you. I said, Father, or devil, in Jesus' name, I break the curse of every word that's been spoken against me, to me, or by me that has opened the door and brought a curse on my life. I break the curse of every action and every deed committed to me, against me, or by me that has brought a curse on my life. And John says, now you need to break any soul ties. He knew where that was going. I knew where that was coming from. I break all soul ties with any of those sexual partners that I've had a relationship with outside the protection of marriage. And I break the sins of the fathers and forefathers in Jesus' name. I'm telling you what, it is scary. It is absolutely frightening. When you see of so much sexual promiscuity that's going on among our young people, and they have no clue the consequences of that. I saw a picture on Facebook a few weeks ago of a person, a body. It was opened up and just like this. And on the inside, there were just pictures of all these different heads of people. And it says, that's what happens when you have sex outside of marriage. You are giving your spot, your soul away, and you're receiving someone else's. And I'm telling you what, we have to send back to those partners that stuff that we've received from them and take back from them the things that we have given them in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you what, ignorance is not bliss in this thing. We've got to educate our kids. Sex is not just a physical thing. I'm telling you, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's physical. But I'm telling you, there must be an understanding of the repercussions that takes place with this thing. We went through all of that, and he says, I'm going to cast some stuff out of you. And he just began speaking to some of this junk that he knew was in me by the Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, the demons that I didn't even believe existed, I found out I was full of the things. Lord of mercy. I made Legion look like a Sunday school boy. And he cast this junk out and cast it out. And I felt like when he got through, I felt like my inside had been opened up, my heart taken out and washed in the blood of Jesus and put back on the inside of me. I'm telling you, it's probably the most dramatic thing I've ever had to happen to me. Then he says, I want you to just declare this confession. I am born of God's Spirit. I'm washed in His blood. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Satan, you have no right in me and no part to me in Jesus' name. That's who we are. That I am agreeing with the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God, I've declared it. And then he says, there's memories that are associated with these emotional wounds. He said, we're going to ask the Spirit of God just to come and reveal Jesus to you. That in every place that you have been emotionally wounded, that you're going to see that Jesus was there all the time. Because the whole reason that we end up being emotionally wounded is because we think God's abandoned us. I didn't think He was within a million miles. And he just said me to close my eyes. He said, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to Louis. I closed my eyes and I had an instant that came up and there was nothing much there. And he said, keep going back further, further and further. And eventually he took me back. The Spirit of God took me back and showed me as a fetus in my mother's womb. And I was in my mother's womb. I saw this bright light. And there was a beckoning. There were hands that were trying to get me to come out. And I just refused to leave the safety and the security of my mother's womb. And then I see these hands, these big, strong hands, just reach in and take me. And it pulls me out and draws me to Himself. And I hear Jesus say to me, you're my son and I love you. I wept. I wailed. It came from way down in here. I discovered in that moment of time the thing I had always been desperate, the thing I had always needed and wanted was unconditional love. And at that moment in time, when He said, "You're my son, and I love you," that day I became a son. That orphan spirit was gone in a moment of time. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. Everything you do in life, you approach differently when you're a son and you're secure in the love of your father. I suspect there's some of you in here tonight are desperate to know that God loves you. Rita and I have done hundreds and hundreds of inner healing sessions. And it has amazed us over the years how many people have been in church all their lives, good people, born again, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, have never heard the Father say to them, "I love you." And we just lead them to say, "Father, do you love me?" Would you like to do that? How many would like to just know, like to hear the Father's voice just tell you He loves you? Here, just do this. Just humor me on this. Just bow your head. I want you to just close your eyes and just loud enough to, for yourself to hear what you're saying. I want you to just say, "Father God, do you love me?" The answer will come very quickly. What does He say to you? What did He say? Okay. What did He say? Anybody else? What did He say? How do you know it's the how do you know it's God? Because the devil hates your guts. Amen. I'm telling you, you know it's God by the content of what He said to you. God loves you. The devil's not going to tell you He loves you. He hates you. He is out to destroy. He's out to kill you. But the Father loves you. Just bow your head. Let's do something else. Father, what am I worth to? What is my value to you? Just listen to what He says. What does He say? Okay. Anybody else? Come on, don't be bashful. What did He say? Okay. You realize, do you not, that if you were the only person on the planet who needed a Savior, God would have given His Son just for you. That's how valuable you are to the Father and to the kingdom of God. I spent many hours just sitting before the Father asking Him questions. Many of them I knew the answer to, but I just loved the sound of His voice. You know what? He talks like an East Texan. God has an East Texas drawl. He's going to sound like you sound. He loves you. He identifies with you. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, you're a son. Have you received the Spirit? Here, just one more thing. Let's do this. Would you just bow your head once again? Don't you just lift your hands? Say, "Father, I receive the Spirit of Sonship. And I renounce the orphan spirit. I am a son. I am your son. You know my name. Father, thank you. I can call you Daddy." Don't you just begin declaring, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." Just say it. Come on. Just declare it. "Daddy, I love you. Daddy, thank you. You love me. Daddy, Abba, Daddy, Father, I receive this Spirit, the Spirit of Sonship. I'm a son tonight." In Jesus' name. And I'll never be an orphan again. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name now, I just release the Spirit of God to seal the Word of God in their hearts. Father, that they are sons and daughters. Father, that they are heirs. They are legitimized tonight in Jesus' name. They no longer carry this old orphan spirit that lies to them and leads them into destructive lifestyles and things. But Father, now as a son, as a daughter, they can now reproduce sons and daughters. Father, thank you for generations that were going to be raised up as a result of the lives and the ministry and the revelation that these people have received tonight. I pray, Father, I thank you, Father, for church leaders and pastors who are being adopted into the family of God. Father, not brought in from the outside, but Father, receiving that spirit of adoption. You've been placed as a son. Placed as a son. And you'll no longer receive in that old spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've received the spirit of sonship. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a son. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. Whatever makes you happy. But I'm a child and I have a father and I know his name and he knows me. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Josh, you can stop the tape. Hey, David, see.